99.7 EJX. Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Hi there, Kelly K.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
All right. How was yours?
It was okay. Groin Watch 2023. So far, so good. Little tentative. I noticed that after running the Urban Bourbon half marathon, after barely training for it, I was really kind of worried about the status of my groin, Kelly.
I mean, we all were. Let's be honest.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. It handled it pretty well. However, this morning, I'm still feeling it a little bit tender. It's not nearly as bad as it was the last time we talked about my groin.
Uh-huh.
But it is a little tender. So,
okay. All right. But tender groin. You're going to be able to power through.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
That's great.
And by the way, it's okay. So real quick, the Urban Bourbon. I don't know if I'm just blind, but at the end of it, you have like a little wristband that gives you like a drink, some pizza. You know, it gives you like little tear off things that you can have at the end of the race, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things is bourbon. You can have a couple shots of bourbon, right? And so I get done and I'm like looking around. It's like 4th Street Library is when it finishes up, kind of looking around going, well, where the heck's the bourbon? Like they advertise it, yet I don't know. It was hard to find. I couldn't find it. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to sit here walking around for a couple shots of bourbon. So I'm just going to leave. But yeah, I mean,
I mean, they even named the race after it.
Yeah. Now listen, it was a perfect day for it. And along the course, there were several homemade bourbon stops from people who are just kind of watching the half marathoners run by. They had their little
I want to participate. Here we go.
Yeah, they had their little folding table out and pouring shots of bourbon, which was
kind
of
fun. Great.
Yeah. So
did anybody partake that you saw?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Several people stopped and we're having some shots of bourbon during
little
during
mid-race.
That,
so. Yeah. Kick.
Yep.
I got it.
Then saw the, then we had the Eras Tour movie on yesterday at Cinemark Tinseltown. So that was pretty cool. Seeing all the listeners that were coming in, dressed in their Eras Tour garb with their friendship bracelets and all that stuff. Everybody was pretty excited about that. That opened up to, obviously that was the number one movie over the weekend. There were no other new movies that were coming out last week.
Yeah, everybody decided, you know what, we're out. We're bailing.
We're going to avoid this weekend. We're going to avoid the juggernaut known as Taylor Swift. And so,
probably best.
So, yeah, so it opened up to $97 million in North America, $126 million globally. Already beat Justin Bieber's Never Say Never, which was also a concert film, which did very, very well. And it also beat Michael Jackson's This Is It. Which,
oh, wow.
I didn't even know Michael Jackson had a concert film. Maybe I was just,
forgot that too.
I guess so.
Sure.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
So was it as fun as like going to the concert itself? Because I know you did both.
Yeah, it was well done. You got to see a bunch of different angles and things that you didn't see before. The tour, as we said, was filmed in L.A., so it was like the last stop of her North American tour in 2023.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't like they did a bunch of different footage from different stops.
No.
It was all L.A.
Yeah, it was all L.A., and it was pretty much beginning of the concert to the end. They did some edits, and they edited out maybe one song. And then there was a little bit of like behind the scenes during the closing credits. But yeah, overall, it was a pretty good concert film. But, you know, that will probably do pretty well this next week, too. We are going to have some tickets if you missed the opening weekend or if you just want to see it again for Baxter Avenue coming up on Saturday night. So listen for Emily. She's got the hookup for you. All this week in the afternoon on 99.7 DJX.
Here's my question. Did they show like a lot of the celebrities that were at the LA show?
They did show her handing the 22 hat, the hat that she wears for the song 22, to Kobe Bryant's daughter. So
okay.
that was the only shot of any sort of like celebrities other than them just showing random shots from the crowd.
Okay.
It was just random shots from the crowd. They weren't like focusing on any of the like celebrities that may have been in
attendance. I was going to say, because they might have had to like pay them some money for like being a character in the movie.
Exactly.
Right? They were like, let's avoid that.
Right.
Let's just make sure you just don't show them
and we'll be fine. And we'll be fine. Right. So, yeah. So you can win some of those tickets this afternoon with Emily on 99.7 EJX. All right. So we'll kick things off here. We've got a feel good story on the way.
An adorable little girl had an unusual request for her Halloween costume, and it went viral. We've got the backstory for you.
All right, we'll get to that next. Here's your feel good.
So this adorable little girl had an unusual request for her Halloween costume, and her name is Scarlett. Her parents shared some backstory videos of how many times she stuck to wanting her Halloween costume to be this year a pink chair.
A pink chair.
A pink chair. All and, right. Well, you know, when you're that consistent, at some point, you just go with it. Mm-hmm. So Scarlett wants to be a pink chair. Mom made it happen.
Kept asking her because, like there's no way she actually wants to be a pink chair.
What do you want to be for Halloween?
A chair.
A chair? Like a chair that you can sit on?
Okay. She still wanted to be a pink chair, so my wife whipped it up with some felt and cardboard, and it turned out super cute, and sure enough, she was happy as can be being a pink chair, so.
Love it.
It is adorable.
Love
like
it.
Felt and cardboard, and yeah, Mom did a great job with it. They still have no idea where she got the idea from. But again, still turned out pretty stinking cute, and best of all, Scarlett loved it.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, you can see the video, you probably should, at WDJX.com. I ain't
worried about it. Whoever laughs first loses. It's You Laugh, You Lose. Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, Trumpets Meet, it's time for You Laugh, You Lose, the game where Kelly and I sling jokes back and forth. First person who laughs loses. It's all for this magical trophy that you can't see, but trust me when I say and I paint these words with my...
paint the picture
with my words that it is a beautiful, majestic silver trophy.
Repurposed dance trophy with a taped on label, which
and
makes
tinsel.
It amazing.
And tinsel.
And
all right.
Tinsel, yeah.
I believe I lost first, so losers go first.
Okay.
That would be me.
Uh-huh.
Kelly, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Okay. Wait. Are you?
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, okay. I'm born ready.
You look cool.
Born ready,
you look
Kelly.
Cool and collected. Got it.
Kelly, I met a girl. Solid 10. But she hated Harry Potter. Kicked her down to a 9 3/4.
Got it. I mean, I'm not a Harry Potter head, but I understand that humor. Good one. Hey, Ben.
Yeah, okay.
Opened my birthday card. Loads of rice fell out.
Oh.
I knew right away who sent it. It was my Uncle Ben.
Oh. Okay. I like that. You know, Kelly, as I get older, I think a lot about all the people I've lost over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe trail guide wasn't the best career choice.
Oh. Oh, not good. Not good.
Kind of their fault. Kind of mine.
Okay. Probably more yours.
Probably more mine.
Okay. Hey, Ben, I told my daughter, go to bed. The cows are sleeping in the field.
Uh-huh.
She kind of looked at me puzzled. What's that got to do with anything? She said. Well, that means it's past your bedtime.
Hey, Kelly, what's a duck's drug of choice?
What is a duck's drug of choice?
Quack.
Got it. Drugs are bad, kids.
That's right.
Hey, Ben, you know, you really got to hand it to short people.
Uh-huh.
You know, because they usually can't reach it anyway.
Ooh. Kelly, will glass coffins ever become popular?
I hope not. Ew.
Remains to be seen.
Got it. Hey, Ben, a Spanish magician told the audience he would disappear on the count of three.
Okay.
He said, unos, dos, and poof! Disappeared without a trace.
Spanish humor.
For our bilingual friends. Yes.
When I got married, got a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm.
For our first dance, my wife chose a song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
Oh.
By You Too.
Oh. Oh, that is... That's not a great choice for that moment.
Yeah.
Oh. prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Thanks.
This one's from David. An invisible man marries an invisible woman.
Oh.
The kids weren't much to look at either.
So why do scuba divers fall backwards out of the boat?
Good question. Why do they fall backwards?
Because if they fell forwards, they'd still be in the boat.
That is true. That is true. Logistically speaking, that is true. Hey, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Went to the zoo with one animal.
Yep.
It was a dog. It was a shih tzu.
I'd ask for my money back.
Uh-huh.
What happens when the king leaves the toilet?
What happens when the king leaves the toilet?
It's a royal flush.
Cute. Cute. Hey, Ben, what's the difference between a clown and an athletic rabbit?
Ooh, what?
One is a bit funny and the other is a fit bunny.
All right.
Bunny. That was my buff bunny.
Kelly, I went for a circumcision.
Do we need to talk about that? Do we need to?
Kelly, I went for a circumcision and the surgeon forgot his scalpel. Still managed to pull it off.
Owie.
Yeah, I'm a little sore. I'm not a lot sore, a little sore.
Hey, Ben!
Yeah.
There's a Roman Empire who never aged past 19.
Oh, really?
His name was Constantine.
You know, my local barber got busted for dealing drugs.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been going to him for years. Just found out he was a barber.
Drugs are bad. Okay, kids. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
My son wanted to know what it was like to be a parent.
Yeah.
So I woke him up at 2 a.m. and told him I lost my sock.
Was that the punchline?
Yes, because kids wake you up for stupid reasons in the middle of the night.
Kelly,
am I right?
Kelly, I went for a circumcision.
Okay.
The surgeon forgot his scalpel. That's dumb.
You were hanging on that. Listen, we're all angry. We're angry at the thought, the mental picture that you've painted with all of that. We're angry at it. We're angry at it.
Don't be angry. It's nature.
No, it's not.
Maybe it's not nature.
Give me the trophy.
All right. Trophy's yours. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Have it again for another week. That is You Laugh, You Lose.
Apologize to Michael and Jennifer.
On 99.7 DJX. All right. Setting the bar stories. Kelly, these are
examples of what not to do or situations we hope you don't find yourself in.
Look, if you can manage to make it through the day without your work making you use your first initial and last name in your email handle, you're doing okay.
Well, a lot of us do that.
I know. I was going to say, and maybe you're thinking big whoop. That's the deal, right? Samantha Hart, though, gets the sweats every time she gets a new job. I'll allow her to explain.
I am filled with dread over one aspect of moving to a different job that I always face when I do this,
okay. Which
is having to have the tough conversation about how my name fits into a company email structure.
Okay.
My name is Samantha Hart, and most companies use the email designation of first initial last name.
Okay.
Meaning that my email would be Shart.
I wasn't there yet.
You were getting there.
Until she just said it.
You were getting there.
And I've had two professional jobs so far, and at every single workplace, this has been the email company structure. And at every single workplace, I have received an email from HR the week before I start letting me know that my name does not exactly fit the company email structure as they would intend.
Okay.
Uh-huh, sure. Okay. What's the fix?
Mind if they gave me a different structure for my email? To which I always say, I don't want an email that says Shart. Yeah, fix it. Give me something else.
Yeah, so I don't know how they handle it, but, you know, maybe they use the first three letters of her name, or they do last name first, then first name or first initial or something. But whatever. She rolls in with a, hey, my email is shart@djx.com
yes,
or whatever.
FYI, yeah. We might have to address this. I just want to come in and just go ahead and address it before it becomes apparent.
All right. So what I want to hear are your awkward email handles that either you've had to use or you had in the company to email someone with that email handle.
That's going to be tough to tough to beat. That's a good one.
Some of the comments. We had an S. Lutz at one company.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. No, that's... Oh.
Another. My name is Sue Hartlove, so my work emails are always Shartlove.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Also bad.
My so cousin bad. Is Shart, and my brother is Fart. P-H-A-R-T. A source of great joy for their coworkers. That is hysterical.
Oh, do we kind of send out a little thoughts and prayers to everybody with the last name of Hart?
Yeah,
that might
right?
have a job?
Right? T's and P's. All right, let us know. I'd love to hear your story, your email handles, your awkwards. 502-795-1997. We'll take your stories. Because we had a setting the bar story about Samantha Hart and the issues that she faces whenever she gets a brand new job. And that is just the company email, which is first letter, last name.
Would be Shart.
Yeah. So that would
you
be.
You know what? She should just keep the same job. That way she won't have to worry about it again.
Right.
Just settle in.
Right. So, what awkward email handle did you have to have? Heather rolls in and says, I'm Hells.
That's kind of fun, though.
Yeah. Hells at DJX. That's funny. I worked with a Patrick Ecker at a previous job.
Oh, no. Oh, it took me a second. But oh, no. Oh, no. P. Ecker. Oh, no. You can put it together.
Another. Ours was first five of last name plus first initial. One guy was going to be McAnus. So I gave him a new one. McAnus.
Oh, that's not good. No. Let's do another one
for
that.
Oh, my gosh. Another. Mine is literally hater, so I understand.
Okay.
Hater. All right. Abby said, I went to college with Tiffany Estes.
Oh!
Tiffany Estes. Testes. Testes, testes, hello, hello.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh, these are good. Another, this happened to my ex-husband, Paul, last named Enos.
Oh, no, come on. Come on. That's not real, right?
At this point, I gotta feel like parents are in on it.
Maybe.
And the parents are like, you know what's gonna be funny? Is if we give
one
them
one day they have
one
an
day,
email.
Yeah, you know it's gonna be funny. Let me give you this.
Or maybe they didn't see that coming, and now it's another thing parents should probably consider. Just like, all right, maybe we can't pick a name that starts with a P.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Lori worked with a guy named Sam Adcock. Oh gosh. Some of these you're going to have to, like, pencil out yourself.
Yep,
we can't say.
You're going to have to finish it in your head.
Oh, my gosh. Ashley said, mine is acid. A-C-I-D. Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Chris says, Chris Littman has entered the chat. Have been dealing with this since college. Again, you're going to have to.
I just got it.
You're going to have to follow along.
Yep.
Can't on your yep. own with yep. some of these.
Nope. Yep. Nope.
No. Justin said, my teacher bestie is A. Smith. We already had an A. Smith, so she got A. Smith. That's funny.
Oh, that's not good.
Samantha says, as Swallow, I feel your pain.
Oh, bless her heart.
As Swallow. That's too much. That is too much. These are good. These are so good. You know, I get it. I get
this
it.
This was, I guess, an avenue I didn't think about going down
right?
as far as I just didn't realize there were so many potential issues with that email model.
T Got one that says, Tara, last name Watt, W-A-T-T.
Oh,
traditional
no, no,
naming
no,
convention.
No, no, no.
No one ever forgot her email address.
Oh, gosh. I guess I'm feeling very lucky. I had a really long, hard-to-say last name, but it didn't end up being anything
weird. One more. Awkward emails from... This is all based on how, like, your work or school identifies you. Like, if it's first name, initial, then last name or whatever. Got one. Our high school used last name, first two letters of first name. My friend's email ended up being Mount Me. Oh, my gosh, that's awful.
That's inappropriate.
Oh, shoot.
That's inappropriate.
All right, that's funny. We'll tweet it out. At Ben and Kelly's show, you can see her TikTok, which kind of kicked everything off. And then dive into the comments, which are just a blessing in and of itself.
Oh, yeah, that's where the fun lives.
Yep, at Ben and Kelly's show on 99.7 EJX. Do this every hour throughout the morning, Kelly K.
Just scrolling over the weekend, saw this posted up on LMPD's Instagram page. They shared some pictures and a story with permission from the family of a special call the mounted patrol made to a home in the Germantown area. So they said why this call is so special is because the homeowner, Dave, a Louisville resident, a Vietnam vet, is fighting cancer, may not have much more time with us. Dave is an avid horse lover, and when he was younger, he and his family had a horse, and he wanted to ride one again just one more time. Doctors advised his family that wasn't possible. So how did all this come about? Last Friday, we posted a picture of Mounted Patrol Officer Justice smiling his way into the weekend. Dave's wife, Mary Jo, reached out on that post, asked if it would be possible to have the Mounted Patrol stop by just for a minute so Dave could meet Officer Justice. Little Facebook magic, they were able to connect with Mary Jo, got her in touch with the commander of the Mounted Patrol, who was more than willing to bring the members out to meet Dave. So Officer Leitz, who is also a veteran and who rides Sunny, which is the dappled gray horse in the picture, along with Sergeant Savage, who rides Justice, made that call for service, surprised Dave. He had no idea they were coming, and he was a little speechless when he saw them riding up in front of his house. Couldn't ask for a better day. Beautiful weather, home of the Kentucky Derby, to meet a veteran and hero to say thank you for your service.
There you go.
Said they were wonderful to meet. Truly filled with joy being around the horses again. They said it was our honor and privilege. Hashtag LMPD, hashtag Mounted Patrol, hashtag honoring our heroes, hashtag cancer sucks, hashtag just two horses and Dave, hashtag lots of special treats for our horses, hashtag carrots and peppermints for days, hashtag keep fighting Dave.
There you go.
So just a great post. We'll share that at Ben and Kelly Show on Twitter.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Hey there. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for allowing us to give you a call on this. Will you tell us what's going on?
Yeah. So this is about my friend Lisa. She was my best friend for a while. And then more recently, the relationship started fading. So I realized I was a little more invested in it than she was. And I decided to bring that up with her. And we really just like had a blowout about it.
Oh.
So I told her that I felt unappreciated and like I'd been the one carrying the friendship for years. And the conversation ended with no resolution. So basically just, oh, well, and that we'd carry on.
Okay.
So for me, that was the last straw. And I just like needed to write her off as a friend of my mind.
Oh, wow.
So,
yikes.
Yeah. So now, I mean, we have superficial contact, but I mean, I'm still hurting. Like my feelings were hurt by this whole thing.
Right.
And biggest problem right now is our long history. So she's like family to my parents, and I'm also friends with her sisters. So we're always like at the same parties. We're together on Christmas. And so now I feel like I need to cut back the relationships with her family in order to be just like emotionally rid of her, like just cut ties.
Wow.
But that's not right. But like I'm so upset with Lisa that it's painful to keep smiling at her at parties and pretending like nothing's wrong. So should I just kind of carry on being cordial with her or because it'd be worse to burn the whole bridge? Or should I just kind of cut ties with her and her family?
That's a really tough one. I know how difficult that can be because it's one thing if like a friendship just kind of fades away and there's really no other like factors with like you being involved with their family or anything like that. But this one's tough because of the family situation.
Do you know, Michelle, if the rest of the family is kind of privy to what's been happening between you and Lisa?
I don't think they are. Yeah. I haven't told my family. I don't think she's told hers because they haven't said anything to me.
Well, and she probably has a different perspective of what's going on, it sounds like.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was the worst part. Is like, it just felt like she didn't care at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like she even thinks that conversation wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that's probably it. Oh, gosh.
We've got plenty of people already kind of reaching out. I would love to hear other people who have been in Michelle's situation where you've had a falling out with a friend, and how do you get through it with their family and everything? Because I think maybe, Michelle, am I correct in saying that would probably help hearing some of those?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
Do you think you'd be open to like a follow-up conversation to kind of drive home to Lisa just how, you know, serious of a situation it is? Like, you're considering trying to end the friendship over it?
See, that's tough because that's kind of the conversation we had the first time.
And she just didn't catch on.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, bringing it up again, like, I don't even really want to go there because it's, like, it hurt me so much the first time we talked about it. Like, I don't really want to have to open myself up to that again.
And what other different words will make it sink in and then and actually motivate her to want to repair the relationship?
This is weird to ask. Do you want to repair the relationship or are you just over and done with it?
Yeah, I think that if she were willing, then I would like to. I mean, if nothing else, it's better if we can be at these, like, gatherings together.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah, like, for that reason, I would want to, but I just don't think that she's open to it at all.
All right, Michelle. Well, hey, thank you so much for allowing us to chat with you about this. Good luck. Hopefully, you know, we'll get some guidance from our listeners to maybe help you and how you figure it out with Lisa. And
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Tina even rolls in on Facebook and says, hey, I need this advice, too. I feel like I carry the relationship with my friend.
Yeah, I definitely know that she's not the only one in this situation. Now, Kate says if her family starts treating you differently, might be time to reevaluate. For now, just do what you need to heal. And then Dawn rolls in and says, don't burn bridges. People mature. Time solves things. Just kind of let it rest for a bit.
Interesting. Okay. What is your story about this? 502-795-1997. We'll take those on the way. Group therapy. Just got off the phone with Michelle, who is having an issue with a longtime friend, even a best friend. They're going through, I wouldn't even say a rough patch, because she's wanting to end the friendship. But it's the family, too, that she's worried about breaking up with as well. And
yeah, it kind of all goes together.
Yeah, for sure. Brandon rolls in and says, you know, God will put people in your life at the perfect time, take people away at the perfect time. I've had my best friendships end over really dumb things, and my life hasn't ever been better since. So maybe this is a sign, Brandon's kind of saying, that it's time to just let go and let things progress and move on. Jamie, the exact same situation or very similar situation happened to you, and what would your advice be?
My advice to Michelle is to not cave in and to stick to her guns because she has valid points.
Mm-hmm.
And if friendships can't work unless there's a two-way street, and if she's not willing to work on it, then she's doing the right thing by kind of saving herself the trouble and the pain. I still am very, I guess you would say, polite and courteous to her family, but we don't see each other like that. She doesn't see my family like that anymore. And just my advice to Michelle is that it gets better over time. She said her piece, and, you know, if her friend didn't want to mend anything, then
that's
it kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
It is so tough when one friend feels like they're the one that's always doing all the work in the friendship, and you're getting nothing out of it. You're always giving and not receiving anything from the friendship.
Oh, yeah. The last, like, 8 months, my best friend actually lived with us for, like, 6 of those months, and then she got in a relationship and then moved out, and then, like, she, like, completely cut ties with us. Barely spoke to me, anything, and I was like, wow, like, you lived here for, like, 6 months. Yeah, so it was really hard. It was really hard because she was with me for everything, birthdays and, you know, graduations for my nieces and nephews. I mean, she was like a sister.
Ah, thank you, Jamie. Lindsay says, hey, been in the same situation. My best advice, time heals. I have since found far better quality friends. It hurts. It will come in waves, but my life is better without those former friends in it. So, man.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said about seasons of life.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you have some friend, you may not necessarily still be friends with the people that you once were, maybe because of life taking you in different directions, mm-hmm. whatever circumstances are going on. And maybe she's outgrowing her relationship with Lisa and they're no longer kind of, you know, whatever brought them together in the first place, those factors aren't at play anymore.
Well, and maybe Lisa's outgrowing the friendship with Michelle, it sounds like it could be.
Yes.
You know, I mean, where it's one-sided and, you know, Michelle's the one who's reaching out and stuff like that and just not getting the reciprocal, you know, vibes and friendship from Lisa, so...
Yeah, Elaine says, focus on you building new happy relationships that fulfill you. When you really start shining, this won't matter anymore.
Okay. These are things I think we all go through. So, you know, it's those friendships that you think are going to last a lifetime and then they don't. And then, again, those seasons of friendship. So I think it's a good kind of way to approach it. And maybe, Michelle, this is for the best.
Yeah, you know what? If it might be time to just kind of let it go, especially if she is not noticing the same change in your relationship that you have,
yep.
and isn't willing to hear you out when you've brought it up to her in doing the work to try to meet you more halfway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that might be part of your answer.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, thank you for reaching out, Michelle. Good luck. Keep us posted on what happens. If you want to weigh in with your situation, you always can. Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show. That's group therapy. I know you probably didn't see this, and so that's why I wanted to play this audio for you. But an unlikely person had a pretty poignant thing to say about the tragedy that's been happening across the world right now, especially we're relating to Israel and Palestine. And it was Pete Davidson.
What?
Yes. Saturday Night Live, cold open. Pete Davidson had this.
This week, we saw the horrible images and stories from Israel and Gaza. And I know what you're thinking. Who better to comment on it than Pete Davidson? Well, in a lot of ways, I am a good person to talk about it because when I was 7 years old, my dad was killed in a terrorist attack.
Yeah, and so he's referring to the World Trade Center and his dad, Scott,
yeah.
who was a firefighter who was there at Ground Zero, 9/11, World Trade Center.
So I know something about what that's like. I saw so many terrible pictures this week of children suffering, Israeli children and Palestinian children. And it took me back to a really horrible, horrible place. And, you know, no one in this world deserves to suffer like that, you know, especially not kids, you know. After my dad died, my mom tried pretty much everything she could do to cheer me up. I remember one day when I was 8.
You can hear he's just trying to hold back tears at this point.
She got me what she thought was a Disney movie, but it was actually the Eddie Murphy stand-up special, Delirious. And we played it in the car on the way home, and when she heard the things Eddie Murphy was saying, she tried to take it away.
Right.
But then she noticed something. For the first time in a long time, I was laughing again.
Mm.
I don't understand it. I really don't, and I never will, but sometimes comedy is really the only way forward through tragedy. You know, my heart is with everyone whose lives have been destroyed this week. But tonight I'm gonna do what I've always done in the face of tragedy, and that's try to be funny. Remember, I said try. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Yeah, so it was just, I mean, you could see he was holding back tears. Every time he said, that was him kind of like resetting and trying to get through it all and everything.
Yes.
So, yeah, like I said, just one of the most unlikely of people to kind of come forward with something very profound to say about that. And then, you know, obviously, Saturday Night Live, another big part of that night was the fact that Travis Kelce made an appearance in this skit about the NFL, talking about and not being able to talk about anything else other than Taylor Swift.
Kenny, what's the mood down there?
Devastated, Kurt. Taylor is nowhere to be seen.
That's, of course, Pete Davidson dressed in all, like, Taylor Swift Eras Tour stuff.
Uh-huh.
Sideline reporting from the football game.
Oh, come on. You too? Why would you think that Taylor Swift would be at a Jets-Eagles game?
What do you mean, why? Because there was a rumor online she was coming to cheer on Travis Kelce's brother, Jason, who plays for the Eagles. Duh.
Okay, you know what? I'm done. When we get back, we are going to speak with someone who actually wants to talk football.
Uh-huh. And then enter Travis Kelce.
Yes, please.
That was his whole line.
That's
yes,
it.
Please. He said, yep. Yes, please, and that
all
was it.
All he had to do.
That's all he had to do. And then so everybody, obviously, you're like, oh, my gosh, if he's here, is Taylor there too? And yes, let me play for you Taylor's part. Her little cameo.
Once again, Ice Spice.
There you go.
That's
that
it.
Was it.
Just introducing the musical guest.
Yeah, she introduced Ice Spice before Pretty Girl, before she sung Pretty Girl there on Saturday Night Live. And so
the real story, though, is what happened at the after party.
All right, well, tell me about that.
Well, they apparently look like they are a bona fide couple at this point. Witnesses were saying that they were all holding hands and, like, kissing and stuff, like, standing in the middle of the restaurant. Waiters had to walk around them. They didn't care. It was like they were just jumping in the deep end. There you go. Full on, like, coupled up.
Isn't that one of the best parts of a relationship, that new honeymoon era of the relationship when you're...
Oh, it's butterflies and you can't get enough of each other and all the things.
Nothing,
that's where they're at.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong. You're not... It's all kind of surface level at this point, just kind of figuring out, you know, who each other is, and it's just touchy and tickles and things like that.
Touchy and tickles. Okay.
Come on. You played the touchy and tickle game, right?
No, not really.
Kelly.
No.
You've been married a long time.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the honeymoon stage of you and your husband Michael's relationship, there was touchy and tickles.
There were butterflies for sure. I don't like the tickles, though.
The touchy and tickle game? Come on now. Anyways.
No, but it's cute. But the real test is going to be when she's kind of back out on the Eras Tour and, you know, kind of forging through.
Yeah.
And that's taken up kind of all of her time. She's got this break, and so she can kind of follow him around. And, you know, support him. So the real work, I think, is going to start for them once all that kicks
Kelly,
in.
Kelly, let's not look at it. Let's not look at it. Let's just take it. Let's just take it.
We're
in the touchy and tickle.
I get it.
We're in the touchy and tickle. The TNT stage. I'm going to play a fun little game called Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Let's introduce you to Christopher calling us from Scottsburg. Hi, Christopher.
Hello.
So are you a Christopher or a Chris? Like, do you have a nickname that people call you?
The only person that called me Christopher was my mom, but everybody else calls me Chris.
Okay. When you got in trouble?
No.
Christopher, get down here. Oh, okay.
All right, good deal. So Chris has brown hair, drives a Hyundai Accent, is the shipping lead, and has been married a year, but together for 13 years. How did that conversation go? Where was it like circumstances? Were you on and off for 13 years? Were you on for the entire 13 years? But like, what happened?
We was together for 13 years, and we decided one day, you know what? Let's just make it official.
Why not?
Let's just get married. Why not?
Why not? All right.
All right.
What a fun day.
That is fun. All right. Chris, so it's Little Kid Drunk Adult. Kelly's going to explain how it all works.
Well, I think you know, Chris, you're going to hear three magical stories. You have to determine, did that story occur in the person's life when they were a little kid, or was it a drunk adult?
Here we go. First one.
I drove an electric wheelchair straight into an entertainment center and shattered the glass cabinets.
Oh.
Okay.
It really could go either way.
I'm going to say little kid because when I was a kid, I used to get in wheelchairs and have fun. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And then you're not a great driver, so that would make sense.
This is true. All right, both of you saying little kid.
I was a little kid.
There you go. You got it. First one, one out of one.
I was at my mom's house, and my mom had recently had knee surgery, and she had an electric wheelchair. So of course, I was curious about the electric wheelchair, and I wanted to take it for a little spin. So I'm sitting in the wheelchair, and I'm just kind of checking it out, and I look over, and there happened to be some shoes on the floor, and I got the great idea to see if the electric wheelchair could make it over the shoe, like if it had enough power.
Okay.
She's trying to jump the shoe?
She's trying to jump a shoe in an electric wheelchair.
And so I floor
like
the joystick as far down as I can push it. And not only did I hit the shoe, I kept going and went straight into the entertainment center and broke the glass cabinets straight in half.
Oh!
Wow.
Boy! Okay. Oh, man.
I mean, how fast do those things go?
Well, it's probably the sheer power that they bring with them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Bodang.
Chris, you're one for one. Here we go. Next one. Little kid, drunk adult.
I shot my older brother in the butt while hunting.
Okay.
Owie.
We're assuming everybody's okay.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm going to say drunk adult.
Drunk adult.
That's what I think, too.
All right. Both of you saying drunk adult.
I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
Oh!
Wait.
Oh, dang.
Wait, what?
My parents got us our first BB gun, so we went hunting pigeons. When we got one, I went to go pick it up, couldn't get it. My older brother said that I was useless, and what was the point of everything?
Oh, no, the brother instigated? This is premeditated?
So I was a little angry, and I shot him in the butt with a BB gun.
Okay.
Oh, gosh, that is not how we use that.
I
bet they got grounded.
Maybe. You know, Chris, someone is listening to this for the very first time and just moved to the area, to the Kentucky area.
Mm-hmm. It's like, exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Like, all right. So that's how they play.
I used to get a little kid because I used to do that when I was little.
Yep.
Man. So
stereotypes
wait,
exist for a reason.
So far, Chris, you've been like, I would have done that. Yep, would have done that.
Love it.
Sounds about right.
All right.
It's authentic.
Let's go. Last one. Little kid, drunk adult.
I ate a huge bowl of red Jell-O with my hands. Then I turned around and projectile vomited it right back into my mother's face.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
I bet it stained.
I think I'm going to play the odds here and go with drunk adult.
Drunk adult, okay.
Because we've had a couple of kids. You're right. Is it going to be the trifecta of kids or is it going to be drunk adult? I'll go with drunk adult.
All right, both of you saying drunk adult.
I was a drunk adult.
There you go.
All right.
Yes. It's a drunk adult.
Yeah, I was drinking at home with my uncle when he told me he'd give me $10 if I could eat this huge bowl of Jell-O in under a minute.
Listen.
Oh, the uncle with the bet.
The uncle with the bet. Chris, are you an uncle?
Hey, $20 is $20.
I know, right? Absolutely.
My mom told me not to do it, but I did it anyway. I then turned to my mom and projectile vomited it all right back in her face.
Oh,
I felt so bad. The next day, I gave the $10 to my mom.
Yes! And then she's like, I told you not to! And then she's having to literally suffer the consequences of your bad choice. I'm like,
Chris, do you have a story with that one too?
No. Not appropriate for radio.
All right.
But talk to me after this weekend.
All right, Chris, congratulations. You're a winner, bud.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. Congratulations. Hang on the line. Another quick sec. We're going to get a little bit more information from you, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. Little kid, drunk adult.
I love when everyone kind of watching on Facebook and can play along. Tim didn't do well. 0 for 3.
0 for 3. All right. We'll have more opportunities to win tomorrow here on Little Kid, Drunk Adult on 99.7 DJX. But we need your submissions too, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. This bit does not exist without the cornerstone being your story. So send us a little voice note, give us a headline, reveal the answer, finish the story, email us, benandkellyshow@gmail.com.
All right, think back. When you get invited on a date, is there some sort of line between enjoying yourself and then taking advantage of your date's generosity? So like, you know, you get asked out, hey, let's go out for drinks. And then, you know, you
end up having a steak dinner with all the fixings.
Right. Or you buy drinks on your date's tab for, you know, a bunch of your friends who happen to be at the same club, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So
look
this is
how generous he is.
Right, exactly. So this is kind of a setting the bar story. So if you can manage to make it through the day without eating 48 oysters on a date, and then having to get stuck with the bill because your date bailed, you're doing okay.
Oh, dang. I've never had oysters, but that still sounds like a lot.
You haven't?
No, I really never have had oysters.
Well, this is Equana kind of describing the entire date from her perspective.
Today I was bored and I had time, so he texts me like, can we meet for drinks? And I'm like, yeah, meet me here. They got the best oysters in Atlanta.
Okay, so she, automatically he's like, hey, can we go for drinks? She's like, yeah, sure, let's go here. And she suggests the place she knows has great oysters.
Y'all, when the fourth one came out, he was looking at me crazy. I'm like, baby, you invited me out. I'm going to eat.
you invited me out.
I'm going to eat.
That's right.
These potatoes and the crab cakes. Why say he going to the bathroom and never come back? It's been 10, 20, 30 minutes. He ended up grabbing a tab. That was crazy to me.
Yeah, so she says.
He ditched her after like having a feast.
So she invites him, or he invites her to go get some drinks. So she takes him to an oyster place and orders a bunch of oysters, or orders a bunch of food and some drinks.
He's like, the menu looks pretty good. Let's get some snacks.
And so then he is kind of like lifting up one eyebrow as. All this food is coming their way, and so then
he goes to the bathroom for a real long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, whose fault is this? Is this his? I almost
1,000% it's his, right?
I think so too. I think that, you know what? Like, he invited her, and if he didn't, he should have made it clear. Like, oh, whoa, like, hey, like, let's you know, if we're going to order a bunch of food, maybe we do this or we do this, not just get up and ditch her.
I mean, the fact that he ditched her, that's awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was an absolute victim.
She is. And you know what? Those oysters went. Kelly, I can't believe you haven't ever had an oyster.
Yeah, no, they look slimy.
Well, they are.
Yeah, I know.
They're oysters.
I don't think,
But they're also...
They don't look like they're going to taste delicious. You know what I'm saying? Like, I also don't like raw tuna or raw fish or anything like that. Like, I need it to be, like, battered and slathered and all the stuff if I'm going to eat it.
I mean, the oysters, really, they only are in your mouth for a short amount of time. Because
it looks like a tongue.
Because that's what you do.
I can't eat it.
You suck them down.
I don't want to suck it down.
That's the whole thing. You just suck it down with a little bit of soy sauce or a little bit of like Tabasco sauce.
That must mean that it tastes bad if you have to shoot it down quick. Try to get it past your tongue so you don't taste it.
You're not eating it with a fork and knife. It comes in its shell.
I cannot. I know. And again, it looks like a tongue. I can't eat it. It's the consistency. It's the way it looks. It doesn't smell good. And the fact that you got to get it down quick. I don't want to sign up for any of that. Like, that doesn't sound appealing to me.
So if you've never listened to this show before in your life, know this about Kelly and myself. Of the both of us, I am the way more food adventurer than Kelly is.
Yeah, no, it took me until like I was 40 to try guacamole. And now I love it. But there's not the same.
You wouldn't have
guacamole. It's not
guacamole.
The same arena. I know, but it's not the same arena. See, everybody is rolling in saying, listen, Lindsay, I've never had an oyster either. Same sentiment. Okay, thank you. Jacqueline, I'm Team Kelly. No oysters, no clams. Thank you.
Y'all need to enjoy some oysters because not only are they delicious, but...
Well, they sound pricey.
They're an aphrodisiac as well.
Okay, well, I can get that groove on with like chocolate and my Arbor Mist. I don't.
Oh my gosh. I'm just saying, some delicious oysters. There are plenty of great places here in town where you can get some delicious oysters. So the next time you go to like a steak place, because a lot of times steak places will also have some good oysters.
Sure, but I'm getting steak.
I
like meat.
Come on now.
I like meat. I'm a meat girl. Keep that one.
I'm a meat girl. Wait, what'd you say? I didn't hear you.
Kelly from Crescent Hill is saying, what am I listening to? See, Katie says it's like eating a giant booger. I don't want any part of that in my mouth.
Okay.
Okay. Who wants to go eat boogers in a shell? I don't want it. I don't want any part of it. It's not going to be me. I'm not doing it.
Hang on. What did I get here?
Stop. Stop. Want any part of that in my mouth.
That's good. That's a good one.
It's a true statement, though. It's a true statement. Oh, Emily said, Kelly, I had oysters for the first time. Got sick later, so that was my last time. See? I don't want to run the risk of that.
Yeah, heaven forbid you try something new, Kelly.
No, not that one. Booger, I don't want any part of that in my mouth.
That's a great quote.
I don't need it. Thank you so much to this conversation for contributing yet more embarrassing buttons in my library. Of awkward things I've said on the show.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, hey, there you go. We'll tweet the story out so you can see it as well.
Bless her heart. Do we start a GoFundMe to try to recover the bill?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. But anyways, we'll tweet it out. You can see it, all that, at Ben and Kelly Show.
Here's what you got to look forward to on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, on the way right around 9 o'clock, another winning word, $2,000 could be in your future.
I don't want any part of that in my mouth.
How about your stupid fact of the day, Kelly?
Let's do some learning.
All right, we find random things on the internet, bring them to you as fact, only after verifying, because hashtag responsible journalism.
Is the verification just because you found it on the internet, so you're like, it must be true?
Well, that and other
I think that's a process.
Other news organizations have reported this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stupid fact of the day. For the first time in 400 years, beavers are now living in London.
Beavers have made it to London? They had no beavers in London before, but now beavers have arrived?
Yep, no beavers.
Wow, that's a long swim.
London was beaverless until just recently.
Okay. But wait, are they in other parts of the country? Just they weren't in London?
Yeah. Oh. They were hunted to extinction in England.
Oh, goodness.
And they had been reintroduced across the country, but had yet to commit to London. And now the beaver...
Well, they heard about the hunting, apparently. They were like, yep, nope, not going there. Did you hear what happened to Bobby?
Bobby the big beaver? Fat beaver.
Maybe. Maybe word got around, and that's why they were staying away. They're like, nope, that's not a safe place.
Right.
Not for us.
So there you go. Bobby and the beaver.
Bobby and the beavers are back.
In London.
They're moving back in. They're like, hello, we're back.
Crikey, what did we miss?
Family. Not crikey, it's it. That's Australian. It's like, hello. Oh, okay. Who would like some tea and crumpets? The beaver family are back.
Okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
All right, so the beaver is now back here in London.
Oh, that's great.
I said here. It's not
no,
here.
It's where
no one really cares. No. But it's just good to see that once extinct, the beaver is now making a comeback.
Oh, are we going to commit to not making them extinct again there in London?
Yeah, let's try that, all right? Try that.
Yeah.
WDJX.com for more stupid facts. You can just click on the listen tab. But there you go. There's your stupid fact of the day. For the first time in 400 years, the beaver.
That's a long time. That's a long time, and now we're back. Hello, chaps. Oh, it's good to see you again. Hello, Big Ben. Oh, hello.
Okay, it's 99.7 DJX. All right, it's time for a setting the bar story.
And it's an example of what not to do or a situation we hope you don't find yourself in.
Everybody loved movie day at school, right?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, when the teacher would show a movie and you'd get to like take a little break and watch the movie, or maybe it was a substitute teacher or whatever. Regardless, it was fine. But this is setting the bar, and if you can manage to make it through the day without showing your fourth grade class a movie that results in parents sending their kids to counseling afterwards, then you're doing okay.
Oh, my. What movie was it, for crying out loud?
So, to be fair, a student suggested this, and maybe the teacher didn't know when the teacher saw Winnie the Pooh that Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey was exactly what was actually going to be shown.
Oh, no, 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 no. That is not the animated classic.
No, it's where Christopher Robin goes on a murderous rampage.
Oh!
We should be close now.
We're not going to find them.
We will. Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore, we were friends for many years, and they're out there.
Yeah, so you get the gist. It's
Christopher.
Kind of a...
We need to leave.
Dark.
Now.
I really need to find out what's happening, okay?
Yeah, kind of a dark sort of movie about Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh, and the...
horror movie.
Right, right.
With lots of bad things in it, from what I've read. I haven't seen it, but, like, it's got some, like, nudity and language, and, of course, lots of gore.
Yeah, so, obviously, for fourth graders, probably not appropriate. There were several...
How long did it go in? So, like, how long did they let it run?
20 to 30 minutes is what it says, and I don't know if it was because, like, the teacher put the movie on and left.
That could be, because I'm feeling like you would learn quickly.
I was going to say, as soon as it goes on, then you're like, oh, wait, hang on, this is wrong. You know, once you see, like, the opening credits, you're like, well, this is a little bit more dark, because there's nothing light and fluffy about this version of Winnie the Pooh. So
no, it's not at all like childhood friends.
No.
Winnie the Pooh, Tigger,
no,
and Christopher Robin, and all the things. Now,
no, so that's why this is in the setting the bar category, where if you can manage to make it through the day, you know, several teachers probably listen to the show.
Yes,
you know, just double check what you're showing to your class before you actually show it to them.
In case you were unaware, that one should not be a selection you say okay to.
Right. Yeah, the whole Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, that's not the same classic tale that you know.
And it sounds like one of the moms who had twins in the class, like, took it up with the principal, and they were like, well, all the murdery stuff doesn't happen until later in the movie.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Obviously, and trying to...
cover it up a little bit.
Maybe, or just, but... make it seem better than it was.
Like,
I don't know.
It's fine. They didn't really see anything that bad.
All right, so that's your Setting the Bar story on 99.7 DJX. We're getting, we're less than 10 days away from the release of Britney Spears' memoir. That book that is touted as being one that's going to be very shocking and revealing, and
spilling all the tea.
Yeah, that, like, Justin Timberlake tried not to have released and all that sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they say it goes after him. He's not going to be happy.
Yeah, The Woman in Me is what it's called. It's due out October 24th. Now, there's going to be an audio version of it, right? So most of the time when, you know, you have kind of these autobiographical sort of novels or books, right?
Mm-hmm.
The actual author narrates it.
Right, like Matthew McConaughey did his, called Greenlight.
Right, which, by the way, if you've not listened to that, he tells a fantastic story. Like, the book is fantastic as read by Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, as you can imagine. But for this one, I think she does, like, an intro, but because of how emotional it was for her to tell the story, she had to get, like, another celebrity to finish reading it.
Yeah,
to do the majority of it.
And that's Michelle Williams. But I that's what I hear from, you know, the PR side of it. But what I hear between the lines is
Britney's not great at reading.
Britney's just not great at reading. Hey, we all have our strengths, right? We all have our strengths. Maybe reading's not Britney's.
No, but I get that. Like, she's telling a deeply emotional story of some stuff that
she went through.
And that was probably, that'd be hard to relive reading it. It was hard enough writing it. So
right.
I understand why she wants, like, a pinch hitter to come in and deliver the audio version.
Sure. All right. So that pinch hitter is Michelle Williams. All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. It's 99.7 DJX. If you want to check it out, WDJX.com. I got it up there for you. Mr. Styles. Can't get you off from all this. 99.7 DJX. Big announcement this hour. Sam Hunt, you know, country star Sam Hunt, coming to Louisville. In February, we have tickets just this day to give away. So WDGX.com, get in on that right there on the website.
It's a little pop-up shop contest.
Yep, there you go. By the way, I have been massaging my groin all through the show, Kelly. So
that's crazy.
We are, after running the Urban Bourbon Half Marathon over the weekend, I was really kind of concerned about the status of my groin, which has been iffy for a couple months now.
But see, I went ahead and I posted... You know, because you
did
update on socials, because I knew people might have been concerned, and you were like, it's all good. Two thumbs up.
I know. After the race, I was like, you know what? I feel okay. It was only the next day, Sunday, that I was like, little iffy again. Little iffy. So, anyways, if
we just appreciate that you are taking us along.
Yeah, you
this
have to.
Ride.
You have to, Kelly.
Every single day.
All right. So, hopefully, you had a good weekend. Whether you were out at the Harvest Homecoming, you got some dumplings and some donuts, or whether you were a part of the Urban Bourbon or the Alzheimer's Walk. You know, hopefully, it was a great weekend for you.
Yeah, and hopefully, you didn't go out and meet a new guy for drinks and end up paying for 48 oysters and crab cakes and all the other things and then got ditched.
Yeah, well, you know, even if you did, you know, hopefully you had at least a story to tell.
Right.
Because we do things for the story.
Absolutely.
All right, if you missed anything from the show, catch up podcast, that's a great place to start, WDJX.com. Anything else, Kelly?
Check out the website, too, for all the updates. Some drama, Priyanka and Sophie Turner unfollowed each other on Instagram.
Okay.
And Sophie's still following Joe, all the brothers,
right.
Kevin's wife, Danielle, right. Joe's mom.
Right.
So there's probably a story there.
Yeah,
you can read more at WDJX.com.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.